Spiegel and Holmes.
Joe Buck, do you know that Spiegs is doing ads for a hair treatment that he doesn't need?
The idea of you doing any sort of hair restoration thing makes me gag. Now, good for you. Yeah. It's all in the name of commerce, and I tip my cap. That's hiding my thin hair.
I haven't seen you on...
Afternoons on the Score.
It's football season.
My budget season.
Before we get to the football season, I should have mentioned that our visits, our pleasant visits with Nico Horner, are sponsored by Huntington, home of asterisk free checking. More at Huntington.com/your money.
Somehow it's football season,
mister.
And there are certain things that register with me in the middle of baseball season as, I don't care. But then there are certain things that I'm like, oh boy, it's football season. And that's just me. For you, I think that threshold is different in terms of what registers. And this is our ongoing relationship and partnership in focus here. But today is a day that the GM steps up, the coach steps up, bunch of players step up. It's hard not to realize it's football season.
It was really weird this morning. I'm, you know, getting ready for the show. So I'm sitting on the couch and I'm on my laptop and I'm looking around the regular places I look for things. And I'm like, all right, now it's time to get local. Let me see what's going on in the Sun-Times. Let me see what's going on in the Tribune. I open up the Tribune sports section and there's a picture of me and the rest of the assembled media talking to Jay Cutler on report day in 2009.
That's hilarious.
The great Phil Velasquez took the picture. It's on my Instagram if you want to check it out, at Lawrence W. Holmes.
That's funny. It's on the Tribune's website as of this morning.
Yeah, like, it's crazy because they did a whole story on, like, players bringing stuff to camp, like what guys would move into.
All right, so 2009, that's hilarious.
And there's a picture of a very don't-want-to-be-here Jay Cutler in the middle of the gaggle. And there's a lot. I mean, you see me there. I'm there. Zach's there. I'm right next to Mully. A young David Haw is there.
How about a John Moon Mullen?
Yeah, our friends that have passed, too. John Moon Mullen, Jeff Dickerson is in that fray too.
Oh man, I'll look on your IG. That's hilarious. Amazing.
I was like, what the hell? Like, you know, like you're just logging on. I'm like, oh, this should be an interesting. Like, oh, bleep, that's me.
Hello. Meanwhile,
with a goatee.
Meanwhile, on this radio station in middays, probably the Danny Mac show was doing a bit about like Devin Hester came running into camp. You know?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and then, you know, all these different people. Jay Cutler doesn't give a crap about camp, but.
Look, Speaks, if you see that picture, it is the epitome of Jay Cutler.
Don't care.
It is the, you see, are you looking at it now?
All that was missing was the fake cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
He could not, and let me just tell you.
Wait, was it fake all these years?
Maybe it was real, I don't know.
The Bears were not quite ready for us when it came to Cutler. And he was not ready either. And I'm not trying to toss shade at Denver media, but there's not as many of them as there are of us.
Do people know the don't care story? Like, was it Shuba's, right?
Yeah.
Like two years.
He's at the urinal.
He's at the urinal at Shuba's, and another, like, a guy's next to him is trying to talk to him about football. And, like.
Which is a really terrible time to talk to anyone about anything.
Yeah.
But,
and he's like, asking Jay all about some football stuff. And Jay
the guy's like, I went to Vandy 2 or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, wasn't that it? I went to Vandy 2, and Jay goes, don't care.
And if you see the picture, it exemplifies that he does not care. We cared quite a bit.
I know. I mean, I don't hate him doing that at the urinal.
Yeah, at the urinal. That's a bad time to strike up a conversation with someone that you don't know.
Uh-huh. But it just kind of.
But you recognize.
That also was the way he thought about reading defenses. But anyway, it's a new time.
It is a new time. And the general manager of your Chicago Bears spoke today. Now, here's what's interesting. One, there are a lot of important updates that Spiegs and I need to react to. Two, he did not take any questions, which we will also talk about. I thought it was odd that he didn't. I feel like this would be a great time for Ryan Poles to take questions. But regardless of that, let's give you what you need. This is Ryan Poles giving his state of the Bears as they open up training camp.
First, I want to start off by thanking our crew who set up House Hall on our campus. They did a great job.
especially Kim Rock and his group. Fields look great. I know a lot of time goes into that, so I appreciate everyone that set it up. Get our fans back on campus. I know our coaches, our players, everyone's excited to get our fans going and get that energy up for training camp. What I want to do today, just hit some house cleaning items in terms of designations that we got going on, a few signings. Hit that first, and then I'm going to pass it to Ben to open and talk about training camp. So NFI, Jalen Johnson, he started on NFI there. When he was training, he had a leg injury. I'm not going to get into the details of that. It is going to take a few weeks before he can come back. We got a lot of faith that he's going to put in the time to rehab and be his full self when he comes back. I'm sure we'll have updates as we go through training camp, but it's going to take a little bit of time, but not overly concerned about long term. Three other guys, Case Keenum. That was just about a day. He had a little soft tissue deal. We wanted to be cautious about that, make sure he was good. We did, took him off just a day later, so he's good to go. And then Jahdae Walker and Ian Wheeler were the other two, real minor. They're actually going to come off now. In the next few minutes, they'll be off of NFI as well. So we're in pretty good shape. Just want to say I'm proud of the guys that had previous injuries coming off of last year. To name a few, Braxton and Colston. Those guys put in a ton of work alongside our trainers, Andre Tucker, Pierre, Brent Salazar, to return and be ready to go for training camp. So we're excited to get those guys back going again. I'm sure there's going to be a ramp-up period. They haven't played football in a while, but really they're ready to go and knock that rust off and get going. As you always know, we'll bring in guys to work out. We're always looking to add competition to our roster. We're also anticipating potential injuries and things like that, so we want to make sure our short list is good. Through that process, we just signed Tano Passanio, defensive end, and we signed Trey Flowers, corner, to come in as well. So that should be coming through the wire here today. I think that's that. In terms of contract that came out while we were on break, as I've always said, I'm not going to get into details of that, but I am excited about the alignment and the stability that we have within our leadership group here. I have an unbelievable group of people that support me, believe in me, work with me, that help drive what we're doing on our roster and on our football team. And that means a lot. Those people mean a lot to me. But my sole focus right now is supporting Ben, his coaching staff, our players, and our entire organization and football operation. So with that, I'll pass it to Ben to open up and hit training camp. And I look forward to it. I have a lot of time with all of you as we go through training camp in the next few weeks.
Well, I hope so, because there's a lot of things to talk to him about. By the way, NFI is non-football injury. So these are guys that didn't get hurt while they were under the care of the Bears. It's a way to be able to manipulate your roster and your roster limits for training camp by having guys on NFI. In the case of Case Keenum, it doesn't matter that much at all because he just jumped right off of it. In the case of Jalen Johnson, though, we saw that he got put on the list. Was that Friday that he got put on NFI? Mm-hmm. The fact that it was like, it's a few weeks before we get him back is a little scary.
Not scary to me. I'm not scared about that.
Why not?
Because it's July, and Jalen is as much of a pro as there can be. And if he doesn't get on the field for 2 or 3 weeks, I've seen enough football camps where it doesn't concern me.
It's a few weeks, though.
I hear
he
you.
He didn't say two okay, weeks.
Call it three. Jalen's still being Jalen, and we've seen enough veteran high-end corners who don't even show up till late August, and that's not going to be the case. He'll be around. So I respect the concern. I don't particularly share it.
Okay. I have concern for a couple of reasons. One, it is a new scheme, and I get that he is meant for this scheme. It's a perfect scheme for him.
Right. Like, he's going to be asked to just cover, right?
Right.
For the most part. Go ahead and cover.
For the most part,
it's simpler. It's simpler, if anything.
You are going to show some different looks. The other thing is we don't know what the injury is. So I get concerned when you have a guy with a leg injury who very much needs his legs. You don't know what it is. If it's a soft tissue thing, it could be something that lingers throughout the season. Mm-hmm. If it's more serious than that, you worry about the reoccurrence of it. So I get that it's only July, but a few weeks, him saying it that way was like, ooh, that is concerning.
I understand. It did not strike me that way because I trust in Jalen as a professional, as a dude who knows his body. And I'm sure that they're in contact and dealing with it. And I'm not
saying that Jalen won't work. Like, mm-hmm. I know that he'll put in the work. I'm just saying that it was striking to hear Ryan Pohl say that he's going to miss a few weeks.
I get you.
Because training camp itself is a few weeks.
But I just think they're so far away from any kind of games or competition of consequence. It is a new scheme, but it's like, you know, if there's one guy who I sort of trust to fit himself in, I guess it's him. But anyway, that's one of, I counted 8 points that polls made overall.
Okay, what you got?
I got just like a general hello, salute, says hello, says I'm going to turn it over to Ben here in a minute, says that early, then does the Jalen stuff, talks about Keenum, talked about Ian Wheeler and one other guy coming off the NFI. So I'm giving those NFIs their individuals. That's 5. Braxton and Colston being ready to go. There'll be a ramp-up period. They'll mm-hmm. have to knock the rust off, etc. They'll be ready to go. That's 6. 7th, adding guys in competition. He talks about the defensive end and about Trey Flowers, the corner. That's 7. And then the 8th is his own contract. He does bring up his own contract.
Another interesting part of that to me, and it was, I'm trying not to read too much into it, but it did feel like, yeah, I'm still here and I'm still really happy. And
But I heard a guy who's proud he got a new deal, but doesn't, just overall, the way that he brings up Ben at the top and then my focus is supporting Ben and his coaching staff at the bottom. And by the way, I'll be around. I'll see a lot of you guys. He knows that there's going to be people wanting to ask questions. He's saying, we're just getting started. It's day one. Let's let Ben be the focus. This is very much by design and vocally saying it about Ben at the top and about Ben at the bottom, saying, I'll be around. I'll see you guys. I have absolutely no problem with him not taking questions today.
I think it's a big deal that he didn't take questions today.
I think it is by design to give the shine and the focus to his head coach, and you will get those questions answered. You've got the Lissagors here. I do not.
Seems to keep coming up, and it's never me who's bringing that up.
Wait, it was literally you yesterday.
It was you yesterday,
No, it was not.
Yeah,
no, it was not.
Yeah, it was. No, but that's a good thing. You've got the journalistic ear, and you are feeling that pull, and I totally respect it. This is them having one day to kind of set the template and show you what they're going to do and what it's going to be. Coach is in charge. It's his show. Let's let him go here. And the fact that he brings up his contract, I think, is a big deal. He does bring it up.
I wonder about that, too, though. I wonder if inside of that is a guy being like, I mean, yeah, I'm good. Like, I've been taken care of and, you know, I just feel like you can do both of those things. And I'm not sure why they wouldn't feel like they can do both. He can answer the questions that one would expect a general manager to answer mm-hmm. and be like, look, you know, Ben Johnson is going to you're going to hear from Ben, and Ben's got a lot of things to say about what's going on.
Maybe it's a touch emblematic in that way, because the ask of Ryan Poles, hey, you want to stay? We're hiring a head coach. You're choosing this guy, but he's in charge. You cool with that? Some things are going to change around here.
That's what I was hearing.
Me, and it is, dude. And he got his money. He got his money in part for his willingness to go with the new paradigm, which frankly is the best paradigm. You look around the league and it is the best way.
Yeah, I think that it is, but I also think that there are just things that you want to take off of your head coach too.
Yeah, that's a good question. See, this is what I don't know. Is if Ben was asked about the ramp-up period for Braxton and Colston.
Yeah.
Right?
Like,
if he's asked about what Jalen's injury is and what that means for Dennis Allen. Maybe Dennis Allen will be asked about that, and he can handle that.
And maybe Ryan will do something like in late August. Like maybe after, you know, after they do final cuts, like that'll be the opportunity for him to to, or I guess early September, because it's pretty quick, right? It's Labor Day week is when the season starts.
It's a good question. When might he do it? He might do it in a couple weeks. He might do one in a couple weeks.
I mean, that's why I feel like you kind of do it now, and you kind of, and then it is. Here's Ben's camp, and you allow him to answer any of the questions that happen in between now and the regular season, because then we are doing more on the field stuff versus off the field stuff, which is kind of what general managers use that first press conference to do. And I mean, he went down the list of things that I think that are really important.
That's what I'm saying. I think he covered everything he needs to cover, and then he hands it over to the coach, and that's the strategy choice.
But
which you could
more,
quibble
but
with.
There's more depth that's needed. Like, for example,
is there today?
I think from a general manager standpoint, yeah. Like, the Braxton Jones stuff calls for a follow-up question.
For like, how soon does it matter for the public and for our interest, right? But how soon does it matter as you're watching practice to know?
Well, I think it matters because you're trying to figure out when he might practice.
There's a ramp-up period, so now...
Right, so you would... ask about that, like, what was the rehab process like for Braxton Jones? When did you guys feel comfortable pulling him and saying, yeah, he can go? Like, I think that those are some of the things that he can take off of Ben's plate, mm-hmm. so that Ben doesn't then have to go down a line of answering some of those questions.
And that's fair. I wonder if Ben accosted with kind of questions that should be Poles's plate.
Not a lot. I don't think he was asked about Jalen, but like, to speaking on all of this, like, they're trying to put everything that happened last year in the rearview mirror, but Ryan Poles getting up there and just kind of ending it without any questions. You know, our guy Weedsy brought up a good point on the midday show today. They asked him, what's the first thing you'd ask Ryan Poles today? Assuming that they're going to be able to ask questions. He says, I want to know about the things that Ryan Poles admitted slipped through the cracks last preseason, last training camp. What's he going to do different this time around so those same things don't happen? And I was like, oh, that's a really good question, and that was not available to be asked today. So now that may be asked to Ben Johnson later on.
Yeah, well, I think the default answer to that and just about everything is whatever Ben tells him to worry about, frankly. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
And I think that's the reality. And he's going ahead and emblematically letting that be known. The reality is that Ben's in charge. And a good GM in football is cool with that. I mean, how many GMs are really, truly the boss and in charge in the NFL? Howie Roseman? How many others are really, truly the boss? And
I'm trying to think of like the successful teams more so than the non-successful teams.
It's just not a lot of Bill Polians out there these days.
But I mean, like, you see and hear from like Brian Gutekunst, for example. Like, you hear from Jerry Jones literally twice a week.
How's that going?
Not great. It is not. There probably should be someone in that position. Yeah. And I know Steven's been doing a lot more stuff, but that should probably.
And he's an unfair example. But, you know, Gutekunst is interesting. Does Gutekunst set the template of how they're supposed to do things, or is that LaFleur?
Here's what, and I don't know the answer off the top of my head. I would have to look. Find out if Eric DaCosta has taken questions, because there's a guy that clearly. John Harbaugh is in charge of the Baltimore Ravens,
That's a great question. But, is it less Snead with the Rams?
Yeah.
Or does Les Snead take questions today?
I imagine he usually does, and then sometimes he just says bleep them picks out in public when they win Super Bowls too.
But I think that's a great question. There's a great kind of path for us to go down and figure out, because they're setting a new template here. They're trying to make it clear they're doing a new thing.
I think that's what they're doing. I hope that's what they're doing. There's another way that you can look at that too. You could have looked at Ryan Poles not answering questions as him pouting. You could have. You could look at it as like him ending the whole thing and being like, yeah, and I got my deal and I'm not going to take any questions. And you can talk to the guy that's in charge here.
Do you get that sense?
I'm just saying that one could look at it that way.
Well, but... I don't look at it that way.
Well, you remember for years and years, how often did we hear our guy Bernstein say, the higher you are up the totem pole, the less we should hear from you. Remember? So I wonder if that's like an actual thing too.
I think that with Kevin, that should be the case. I think with the guy in charge of the football operation, just to open it up and say, hey, I think that the question that Weedsy brought up is a really, really good
it
one.
It really is.
What went into the decision of bringing Case Keenum in? Like there's a lot to what will go into, and that's something that can ask Ben. But
there it is.
No, not the Keenum thing. The next thing I was thinking of is like the left tackle position and how that competition goes. Like, what matters to you?
Sure.
Like, hearing about those things, I think is important.
Hopefully we hear what matters to Ben about the left tackle. We hear from the new offense.
We will at 5.
At the off, there we great. Go. That's a great tease. Mark Grody with all the tape you need, including Ben Johnson on left tackle at 5:00. And maybe we'll hear at some point from Dan Rauschauer, the new offensive line coach, about this left tackle competition. Because guess what? Ryan Poles, as an offensive line judge and strategist, I'm ready to hear what Ben Johnson has to say.
I get that. But I worry about us jumping to Ben is in charge and it's the right thing to do. I want to hear more about the symbiosis. I want to hear what maybe Ryan Poles' view on football has changed because he is now in a partnership with Ben Johnson.
I would hope that's the case, and I bet that is, and I would like to hear more about that. And I wonder if Ryan is going to do more stuff like on the side with people, as he references there towards the end.
That would happen occasionally where, you know, the beat reporters would get tables with the general manager. It is a little striking because ordinarily it is something that is, it's fairly perfunctory that's the opportunity for the GM to open up and talk about whatever, however the team finished the last season, what improvements the team has made in the offseason, and the injuries for sure are usually something at the start of a training camp that person is speaking to.
I appreciate the conversation, and I hope the listeners do, because I think it's intentionally striking. I think it's intentionally striking to make you realize what's going on here. And I think I've been calling for it for a long time.
I think most of us have.
And I think we're actually seeing it. And I don't know if it's going to work, but I know that it's worth trying to give a head coach the freaking keys, the offensive-minded head coach, the freaking keys with a young quarterback and say, you go ahead and do that thing that you seem to know how to do. Let's give that a shot, shall we? Because we never have.
Well, let's find out what the new coach is going to do with the quarterback. We will talk about that next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're cooking with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on The Score.
This is the time where you know, it's time to get hard, time to really challenge yourself, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, and you really push yourself to see how far you can go.
Grady Jarrett has a lot of fun with audio that we need to get to. He's fun. I'm looking forward to hearing more and more from him each week. Spiegel and Holmes.
This is the time where you know, it's time to get hard, time to really challenge yourself.
It is.
Wait. Right now? For who? For everybody?
Hey.
Some of our listeners might need a good 20, 30 minutes for the medicine to kick in. That's all I'm saying. Give them a chance, okay? You can't just not. Some people might need a moment, Grady, but I mean, good for you if you don't.
Or a few. Whatever it takes. We don't kink shame on this show.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Just as long as someone is happy for that thing and was willing to accept it, we are here for it. Ben Johnson stepped to the microphone, and as you can imagine, on a day where the Bears report to camp, there's a lot of conversation about your quarterback, Caleb Williams.
I don't think it's not linear. Okay, so there's going to be bumps, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. It's easy to have a bad day or two and go ahead and get all panicky. That's not going to be us. It's going to be a little bit more of that. But there's certain benchmarks along the way. The first couple weeks is going to be a big installation, so the guys are going to be thinking, mistakes are going to be made. I think a lot of come out of these joint practices that we have against Miami and Buffalo will be a good barometer to see where we're at as a team. And then Kansas City, you know, the preseason games, all these teams will be really good for us to kind of gauge where we're at as well. But it'll be – I don't know if there's a certain timeline on it. It's be a feel as we go through camp.
What are some benchmark goals for Caleb throughout not only camp but preseason?
Yeah, I don't. We have not put. You have to complete 60% this day, 65% the next. We haven't done that. We certainly have goals that we strive for. You know, I won't even. It's not a secret. I told him I would love for him on the season to complete 70% of his balls. So you would like to think over the course of practice that we're completing 70% or more. That's hard to just magically arise in a game. So it's a lofty goal, but it's one that we're going to strive for. And so because of that, we're going to use that as our benchmark and kind of work from there.
And you talked about how much or how you can gauge how much a quarterback's cup you can fill. And how much have you filled Caleb's cup, if you will? I've talked to play callers in the league, like KOC, who talks about with Sam last year, filling his cup each week at a different level.
Yeah.
For you, where does that go?
It goes back to getting to know each other. You know, in the springtime, we saturated everybody, quarterback, everybody on offense got a lot of information. We're just trying to introduce a lot of elements of the system. When you look back at it, there's probably some things that you wouldn't run against DA's defense that we just wanted to get introduced. Going into camp, it's going to be a lot here early on. These first 2 weeks, we're still going to do a lot. And it's not so much to attack the defense or anything like that. It's we got to find out who we are. And I'm going beyond just the quarterback here. I don't know if we're going to be a wide zone team up front. I don't know if we're going to be a gap team yet. There's a lot of things that got to play out, and we won't know until we get the pads on. But, yeah, it's something you're certainly conscious of is what's the right amount, not only over the course of camp, but more importantly once we get into the season. And that's something as a staff that we're going to have to hone into.
Lawrence, help me think about this. Did he just say he's not sure yet what kind of a run scheme? Are we going to be a wide zone team?
Or a gap zone team?
I mean, so just thinking about that, you know how much we loved the idea of like he was going to tailor the offense around the skill set of his people? And everybody says that, and that's the idea every time. But then they get here, and so many times we see him trying to just, all right, this is what we do. This is what we do as an offense. It sounds like he's going to figure out what they do well and then decide that's what they're going to do. Am I crazy, or is that what he's saying?
I also think that it matters who's at left tackle, depending on, like, if you're doing, like, wide zone stuff, like, where you're stretching out the defense as far as you can horizontally before you can get vertical in your run game, how your tight ends block that and how your tackles block that is significant. So maybe he wants to see, like, who's got the feet of a dancing bear over there at left tackle to figure out if that's something they can do more of.
Sure, right? And that's part of it. So it's not just the skill set of a running back. It's the skill set of his linemen.
I mean, look, DeAndre Swift can play in either one of those. Like, that's not something that you really have to worry about with him as a player. I do think that you want to see how all of the, like, how do they chorus line this? Like, what are the things that they can do as an offensive front, and which one is better for them, whether it's them doing, you know, whether they're running wide zone or they're running gap.
And zooming out, every time he's like showing an open mind as to what they're going to do, as opposed to doing the Matt Nagy Hungarian stubbornness, I'm going to smile.
I like it, but it does limit, like, the reps matter so much when you're still in that part of the fact-finding mission.
Yeah, you got to decide soon.
Absolutely. So you can get everyone reps for it. He went on.
Is there an ideal point, Coach? Is there an ideal point where you'd like to have that left tackle settled down? And if Braxton's ramp up takes a little bit longer than that, does he just come in kind of playing catch up, or does he get a fair shot from an even perspective?
Yeah, everyone's going to have a fair shot at this. And we're going to work him back in, and we'll see where he's at. And as part of the evaluation, you know, is to see how ready he is by week one. So by week one, we'll know exactly who our starting five are going to be. And if that takes 3 weeks to figure out, great. If that takes 6 weeks to figure out, no problem.
You made some key changes to
play more guys in the preseason games more aggressively than perhaps it's been done in the past to try to figure all this out.
I don't know what's been done in the past. Like I said, I'm going to take a lot of weight into these joint practices. That's our initial plan, and we'll see how much we play guys over the course of the preseason games.
You're trying to build trust with Caleb, obviously, and he's coming off of a rookie year that got derailed. Do you have to massage that in a different way or have more patience in that? Or do you feel like the foundation is there to start trusting each other quickly?
Yeah, I think we're ready to go. The governor's off. He and I have been talking all spring, all summer, constant phone calls, constant conversations. And so I think we're in a great place, and he wants to get coached hard, and we're going to push him as hard as we can and do what's right for the team.
Oh, LFG, let's effing go. He wants to be coached hard. We're going to push him as hard as we can, do what's right for the team, and the governor is off. Didn't you just see the governor running?
He's retired, actually. Wait, which governor?
Well, that it is true. I did see Rod Blagojevich Friday. I was in one of my favorite parts in the city. I was in Ravenswood Manor.
It's lovely.
It is lovely up there. And I look up and I'm like, he was talking to someone as he was running. I was like, oh, look at that. It's Governor Blagojevich. Because his house is like right there.
Sure. So. It's just rare to see a convicted felon running in the wild. You know what I mean?
He's been pardoned. So.
Oh, all right. My bad.
So, I mean, yes, he's a convicted felon, but he's also been pardoned.
Convicted and pardoned felon?
Yeah.
Say both of them?
Yeah.
But no, let's go. Caleb wants to be coached hard. Let's go.
All right. More from Ben Johnson on Caleb.
Two more. Resetting Caleb's foundation and solidifying that. What for you are the specifics of a quarterback's foundation, the things that have to be in place before you progress?
Now you're getting deep. It's one of the big points of emphasis we had in the springtime, and it's going to carry over to camp, was our pre-snap procedure. And so that's calling the plays, that's the motions, that's the shifts, that's the cadence. We're going to continue to carry that. We use that as a weapon, and that's not going to change. That's certainly an advantage for us on offense. Beyond that, though, there were some footwork things that we wanted to clean up, trusting the timing of your feet, being able to anticipate throws. It's a lot of stuff that goes into that position, and rather than throwing the whole gauntlet at him, we're just building it from the ground up. He took some homework with him over the course of the summer, and he's come back. Even though we haven't done anything full speed over the last few days, we've noticed some improvements along the way. So really excited to see where this thing goes over the next few weeks.
Ben, you talked about situational coaching and about having to make decisions you haven't had to make before. Once these games start, timeouts, those sorts of things. How do you get good at that without having done it before? I know the Bears, can put you through some scenarios.
That's right.
But is that, tell me, what was that like?
It's how you get good at anything. I think it's repetition over and over and over again. You watch tape, you put yourself in that mindset. If I was here now in this situation, what would I do? That's why the situations we practice over the course of camp are going to be huge for not only me, but for also the rest of the staff and the players to figure out how my mind works so that they can play off of that accordingly. I just hope we can in 6 weeks get enough reps to feel good going into week one. That's the challenge. This is a race now. Like, everything's a race. We got to get our fundamentals down. We got to get our execution down. Like, this is going to be a challenge, certainly for the first year with new systems on both sides of the ball. That's the fun part of it too, though. That's the challenge that we want, and it's going to be some hard work.
In that sense, is the preseason game important for you and your staff, whether your starters are there or not, just because you may have some of those situations?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about it.
Look, there was some really sexy football in there, and I don't want to just go past it. We don't have enough time to talk about it in this segment, so let's talk about it in the next segment. That portion where Ben's talking about where Caleb can improve, I think that's worth us discussing further.
Big time.
So we will do that, and we'll go over what we both heard as we're listening to Ben Johnson talk about Caleb Williams. Don't go anywhere. Spiegel and Holmes talking Bears with you on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay.
See, we're full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
One of the big points of emphasis we had in the springtime, and it's going to carry over to camp, was our pre-snap procedure. And so that's calling the plays, that's the motions, that's the shifts, that's the cadence. We're going to continue to carry that. We use that as a weapon, and that's not going to change. That's certainly an advantage for us on offense. Beyond that, though, there were some footwork things that we wanted to clean up, trusting the timing of your feet, being able to anticipate throws. It's a lot of stuff that goes into that position, and rather than throwing the whole gauntlet at them, we're just building it from the ground up. Really excited to see where this thing goes over the next few weeks.
That's Ben Johnson talking about where they would like for Caleb to get to. And I think giving pretty good, clear benchmarks on the things that they would like for him to improve on. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. We're here with you until 6 o'clock going through a lot of the tape from the Bears opening up camp.
Yeah, that's I wrote down, well, there's your template for Caleb's progression this month. And the pre-snap stuff that they've been talking about is the big deal and deserves its own little paragraph right there. But then there's footwork to clean up. Oof. Trusting the timing of your feet.
That goes back to the stuff that Troy Aikman was talking to us about with Dave Wannstedt back in the fall.
And then anticipating throws, which, you know, Mike Martz and everybody has talked about. Are you an anticipatory thrower?
Or do you need to see it and then let it go?
That's a lot, man. That's big stuff that they're asking this kid to get better at. And they're not just changing what he was doing. Ben said, we're building him from the ground up.
Yeah, folks, they're starting over.
This could be bumpy, is what I. So my two big thoughts were like, there's your template, okay? And then this could be bumpy, but we've got some very specific things to look at over the next few weeks.
Well, that part of it, like the footwork stuff, like that's those are the things that anyone around the Bears was telling you. And I had people reach out to me and say, look, he's already started doing the motion of taking the snap from center and figuring out what he's going to do with play action. It's a different world, man, when you're talking about turning your back to the defense and then understanding the timing. That back foot hits, the ball's supposed to be out.
Ooh, that's important. So trusting the timing of your feet means that, even if you don't see it.
Sometimes you gotta take that snapshot and you gotta let her rip.
And you don't even look. You're not even looking because you turned your back.
And we know that they changed him, and this is something that we had to go through when we were talking about Justin as well. Now it's left foot forward in shotgun snaps. Like, those are things that they want to do with Caleb and getting that footwork right. It's why, like, I know that I'm geeky about football. Like, I know that I will get into the weeds on stuff when it comes to this stuff. It's why I found episode 5 of Quarterback so fascinating.
I haven't even watched it yet. I watched that whole damn thing, but I missed 5 as the wife was watching. I got to go back. That's the stumble bum one?
Yeah, and you get to see Jared Goff operate. Like, you get to see some of the stuff. Like, the thing that fascinated me, I don't think you were here when I talked about it. I think this was Jason and I that were talking about this. The fact that in one of the scenes, it's literally Monday afternoon or whatever after a game. And it's Jared Goff going through the next opponent. And he's like, yeah, I like to get a feel for what I want to be able to give suggestions about the game plan for the next week. And we know that with Caleb, that was a thing last year of him watching film on his own. And I get it. Veteran, rookie, very different scale, sliding scale of experience there. But seeing that Jared Goff got to the point of, I'm not waiting for Ben to tell me what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I am going to be proactive and say, I've looked at these guys. Here are some suggestions on what I think that we can do really well.
It's going to be a little while, and that's okay.
Probably, but that's where I want Caleb to be.
I agree. But last year, it's funny. Last year, they asked him to be that from the get-go. They asked him to be that right away. And Shane Waldron was like, all right, what do you want? You know, like, letting him drive way too many of the buses along the way. It's going to take a little while. This is the beginning of a relationship. They've had a couple of months here in the offseason, but here we are in camp. Let's go. Coach Hard, take the governor off. But this is the beginning of something.
And I do think that it's important, and I don't want to yuck anyone's yum as a Bears fan. I just want to give him grace and time. What is being asked of Caleb Williams is going to be new, and it is clearly going to be difficult.
Yeah, it is. And he said he liked grace. That. Remember, he brought up grace from the coaches from last year.
Yeah, understand that this is the experiences that he had last year, I think, are helpful. I think it's helpful because he understands now NFL speed. But he is being asked to speak another language and do another thing. And so if it is bumpy or clunky, as you said in the last segment, Spiegs, let let this work out, because I do think that the player himself is worth the bumpiness that might occur.
I think so. And we're going to have to choose to be patient. At least I am. You know, it'd be checking it all out, but try to be patient.
But I get anyone that's like, no. Y'all said he was ready for the pros right now. Or if you think back to Olin, where Olin says they've invested in you, you invest in them.
Yeah.
I hope that he does all of that stuff to get him to that point.
I did some research on the 70% completion percentage that Ben Johnson has thrown out there as an aspirational stat.
How many guys?
Let me save that, and I'll mix it into our Caleb conversation, which is upcoming, because that is... He said,
it's
I know that's
a lofty goal.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's a very lofty goal. We will talk about why that's the case, and you will hear from Caleb next here on The Score.